This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. Everything Tom, Rich and I have been up to at the beginning of a new week, Monday the 5th of June. It's a new week, fresh off the back of an OPEC meeting, and we've crossed live to Vienna, waking the very sporting Amina Becker up at 4:30 in the morning in order to have a look at what came out of that meeting. A surprise one-off cut by Saudi Arabia. Amina's the Deputy Bureau Chief and the Chief OPEC Correspondent for the Energy Intelligence Group. She's been putting that in context for us, including the rise in production that the UAE is going to get next year. We've also had a big look at flight prices this morning on the back of some new research suggesting that some flight prices are more than double what they were pre-pandemic. I've been speaking to Emily Jenkins from DW Travel and to the IATA regional boss, Khashif Khalid.
Thoughts around some of the big talkers of the day. The OPEC Plus meeting in Vienna has been one of the big talkers today. That's prompted a number of questions coming through from a number of our listeners, a number of comments as well. Interesting times, says one of our listeners, on the back of some of those decisions. Chandan's also been in touch saying the real million barrel question today is where is Ethna Traynor on a day like this? Can't bring you Ethna Traynor, but we have been speaking to Amina Becker, Deputy Bureau Chief and Chief OPEC Correspondent of Energy Intelligence Group. Saudi voluntary cut, one of the headlines today. What did Amina make of that?
Really been a marathon this weekend. A lot of side meetings, which finally got us to yesterday's decision, which was a very comprehensive and complex decision. Saudi Arabia is going to be cutting an extra million barrels a day for the month of July, and that means that Saudi Arabia's production is going to fall into the single digit of 9 million barrels a day, and that's comparing to, if you look at April, for example, their production before the announcement of any voluntary cuts was around 10.5 million barrels a day. That's really a signal from Saudi Arabia that they want to accelerate the recovery of this market, but also there is a need to signal unity and put ahead, I mean, a plan that's not just for this year, but for 2024 and 2025.
Amina Becker, Deputy Bureau Chief of Energy Intelligence Group, live from Vienna, early doors this morning. Energy prices, obviously keeping a monitor and eye on that one for you. Markets not reacting negatively, in fact, reacting very positively to that news overnight. So we're monitoring that one for you. The big talker there that's got people talking is energy in another way, getting you from A to B along with your family without having to take another mortgage out this summer. Prices are rising at the moment. We've got an Instagram poll going. Who's monitoring the Instagram?
I've got the numbers for you.
Got the numbers?
We're giving you four options. The question is, how much is your summer travel costing you versus 2019 pre-pandemic? Is it cheaper? No votes. Is it about the same? 6% say yeah. A bit more, 6%. Much more, 88% say it is much more expensive than pre-pandemic. But as Serena Kelly has mentioned to me, we should have a fifth category, which is just not travelling at all this summer, because a lot of people will not be and are not. And I get that. So thank you very much indeed for your contributions to that poll this morning. It's still live on our Instagram at DubaiEye1038FM.
I think you make a valid point as well there. Times is tough. And I know that a lot of people have to get away during the summer to see family and loved ones. But a lot of people are getting priced out of the market, especially if you've got families, especially if you're traveling en masse. It is getting to a point where people have to make that tough decision, say, just can't do it. Might have to wait till later in the year, see if things come down, etc. So obviously, our thoughts. So feel free to share your thoughts on that one as well. Talking of thoughts, Sharon Horring's been in touch this morning. We are independent travellers and we always aim to book and plan ourselves. But now we go through travel agents due to the CC privileges. However, the last two times we've gone via an agent, they've made mistakes with our bookings, and it's far too expensive to change as well. We spoke to an agent a little earlier on.
We did indeed. That was Emily Jenkins.
Yeah, she's with DW Travel. So thanks, Emily, for coming in this morning. And we've got more on travel in about 10 minutes' time. We're going to be speaking to Kashif Khalid of IATA. There's a big IATA event going on at the moment, not far from us, actually, in Istanbul. The great and the good of the aviation industry are there. They've been talking. For example, one of the interviews I saw yesterday was with one of the bosses from Airbus saying, we're not going to have enough wide-bodied planes to satisfy demand until 2029. We're just sold out. We can't build enough of them. Now, demand for narrow-bodied planes, like the A320, we know demand is strong for them, but the wide-bodied ones, the A350, the ones that Emirates buys, because Emirates only buys wide-bodied aircraft with twin aisles, 2029 until we're going to be able to catch up with demand is their estimate because of supply chain. It's not supply chain problems. That's the wrong word. It's very, very complicated to build more of a supply chain for these aircraft. And there's just so much demand that, you know, to build an aeroplane manufacturing plant is not an easy thing. You can't just throw one up in Toulouse in an afternoon. It takes years to build a plant that has the sophistication that they need. And that's the challenge that they face.
Yeah, Kashif's going to be speaking to us about recovery of the air travel market. We know there is demand. The prices wouldn't be there if there wasn't the demand. We're at 90% of pre-pandemic levels at the moment for international air traffic in general. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes' time.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Where we are now crossing live to Vienna to speak to someone who's been at that OPEC meeting this weekend. Oil is nearing $77 a barrel this morning after the news that Saudi Arabia is going to cut its own production by a million barrels a day from July. Amina Bakker, the Deputy Bureau Chief and Chief OPEC Correspondent for Energy Intelligence, is there. Amina, good morning. Thank you so much for waking up early and joining us.
Good morning.
And it sounds like it has been a fascinating couple of days. Let's start with that big headline, the Saudi lollipop, as the Saudi energy minister has put it. Saudi's voluntary cut. What are you making of that?
Yeah, that's right, Brandy. It's really been a marathon this weekend, a lot of side meetings, which finally got us to yesterday's decision, which was a very comprehensive and complex decision. It's really topped off by this lollipop that you mentioned, or the cherry on top. Saudi Arabia is going to be cutting an extra million barrels a day for the month of July. And that means that Saudi Arabia's production is going to fall into the single digit of 9 million barrels a day. And that's comparing to, if you look at April, for example, their production before the announcement of any voluntary cuts was around 10.5 million barrels a day. That's really a signal from Saudi Arabia that they want to accelerate the recovery of this market. But also, there is a need to signal unity and put ahead, a plan that's not just for this year, but for 2024 and 2025.
What's that going to mean for the Saudi economy?
Well, Brandy, if you look at break-even points, for example, if you want to look at the IMF numbers, it's no secret that Saudi Arabia needs an average Brent price of $80. You can argue a little bit above because of the high spending they have on their diversification program. But I think it's not just about immediate prices. And I explicitly asked Prince Abdulaziz this yesterday during the press conference, are you just targeting prices? And he said, no, this is a failed policy. We've done that in the 80s and we've learned our lesson. And it's not just about prices. It's just looking at the market and realizing that there are so many uncertainties. We need to take this precautious look ahead in order to maintain a market that we can have control over, but also maintain OPEC Plus's ability to be a fundamental tool in managing markets. And he spoke about three levels of volatility, Brandy. He spoke about the near term, medium term, and long term. And Saudi Arabia is combating with OPEC Plus all these levels of volatility in the market.
Well, Bloomberg's described the UAE as the big winner of this meeting. We've actually got a higher production quota now for 2024. Talk me through the background of that, all the concern about baselines and what we've seen with African production.
Sure. I mean, part of this decision was to revamp the baseline system, the quota system, because for quite some time now, OPEC Plus has not been allowing a lot of member states to have the quotas that truly reflect in reality what countries have been producing. You've been having a number of member states that were unable to meet their targets for whatever reasons, technical reasons, other issues, etc. And for the UAE, it was quite the opposite. The UAE has a much bigger capacity and had, on paper, a lower number. So it was always something for the UAE they did that once in the previous years, asking for a higher quota, and it was revised. And this time as well, I mean, if you look at the UAE's capacity, which is close to 4.3 million barrels a day, it does signal that the UAE needed to be adjusted upwards, not downwards. So, yes, the UAE did get an adjustment of 200,000 barrels for 2024. And this would allow the UAE to produce, I think the quota was 3.2, if I'm not mistaken.
It's been a really interesting meeting, Amina, and we were speculating what it's like for the press like you. We had, as you mentioned there, all of those late night meetings, those side meetings between minister. We've had a number of journalists or their organisations barred from attending the headquarters itself for this meeting. What's the atmosphere been like there on the ground?
Yeah, it's been quite hectic, to be honest with you, and very exhausting. I mean, to reach this kind of very complex agreement where you have a change of baseline, this voluntary cut, and not to mention an extension of voluntary cuts into 2024 with countries from OPEC and OPEC Plus. So, I mean, this takes a lot of prep work, and it shows you that this group, first of all, has an exceptional level of communication. It's a bit like herding cats, Brandy. Like it's amazing for them to reach this decision. Even if it took hours and hours of talks, it's relatively fast considering the magnitude of the decision. And I understand, I mean, at some point, ministers don't have the authority to sign these agreements. They have to go back to their governments and call up and say, are you okay for us to be signing this baseline? Or extending the cuts. So they needed extra support. Overall, the atmosphere, I would say, was quite positive. Although, I mean, you did see from the reports that some media were not invited inside the secretariat, which, of course, I hope gets revised in the future.
Amina Bakker is Deputy Bureau Chief and the Chief OPEC Correspondent for Energy Intelligence, waking up early to join us live from Vienna, where she's been covering that meeting. Thank you so much, Amina, for your time.
Take Dubai Eye 103.8 on the go and stay informed.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's talk about those rising summer travel costs. Delighted to be joined in the studio by the Head of Product Development of DW Travel, based here in Dubai, Emily Jenkins. And so, Emily, you've seen the headlines we've been covering this morning. American Express saying summer travel is going to be significantly more expensive, almost double pre-pandemic levels for some routes. What are you seeing?
Sure. So I think the interesting thing about this conversation is we do tend to have the same conversation every year before summer, before Eid, before Christmas, that there is generally a peak in pricing, that things get more expensive. You know, airfare pricing is complex. It depends on the itinerary, the class of travel, the destination route you're going on. And the closer we get to peak periods, the promotional airfares sell out and the prices get to be higher. I think this year, obviously, we're in an... it's probably exaggerated by the fact that demand has come back with a vengeance post-COVID, and there are still some issues with supply.
Okay, so in terms of what you're seeing in terms of flights, and you've been here a long time here in the UAE, yeah. You worked with Donata for a long time, you know, with DW Travel, so you can see what's happening. What's your sense of the difference? What's that message, Tom? Someone said 40%?
Yeah, 40%
Sophie
higher.
Reckons that the expenses are 40% higher this year. That's just one person's view. But what's your perspective?
Again, I think it comes down to where you're travelling to. So there are definitely some much more popular destinations from this region where you'll see that prices are up a lot higher. Whereas if you're choosing to go somewhere a bit more off the beaten track, you might still be able to get yourself a deal if you're happy as well to fly indirect versus direct. We are actually seeing that some flight routes are down less than 2019 levels. So, for example, we did some pricing for the Maldives, Georgia, Greece, Austria, and they were all between about 20 and 50% cheaper than 2019.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. We've got an Instagram poll going today. We're asking the question, how much is your summer travel costing versus 2019? We're giving people four options. One is cheaper. No votes for that one, despite what you say. About the same is 11%. A bit more is 11%. Much more, 78%. So four out of five people saying it is much more expensive than it was in 2019. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think we're not just talking about airlines, though, as well. So I know that there have been a lot of conversations around the cost of car rental increasing in terms of, you know, shortage of fleet. Hotels, many hotels are choosing to limit capacity in order to be able to deliver service based on their shortage of staff. But again, we are still seeing that there are deals coming through and, you know, demand obviously will always, hopefully, drive improved supply in the future. Most of the UAE carriers, so Fly Dubai, Air Arabia, Etihad, Emirates, have all announced extra capacity for the summer, putting their summer routes back on. So we're hoping that obviously all of that will start to show in pricing in the future.
And you mentioned Georgia there, and it's interesting. I went there over in February to go skiing over the half term because I've got kids. And one low-cost carrier here quoted me 21,000 dirhams for four passengers, which is quite a lot for a 2.5 hour flight. But then Air Arabia Abu Dhabi quoted me 6,500. So you can shop around. I mean, one of the good things that we have here in the UAE is that there are, I mean, 140 airlines flying in and out. We've got open skies.
And also the distance between the airports is not that far. If you wanted to drive to Ras Al Khaimah, to Sharjah, to Abu Dhabi to try and shop around, you've also got that opportunity as well.
So what are the hacks? You know, you're a travel insider for getting a good deal.
Interestingly, what we're seeing is actually people are booking further ahead. You know, traditionally this market has been, you know, book and travel within that 14-day period. We're even seeing that the, booking ahead is extending even for our corporate clients, not just our leisure clients. If you can fly outside of peak periods, I mean, my children are under school age, so I'm going to take my summer holiday towards the end of August, start of September. You always see prices drop significantly when, you know, the season changes. Looking at indirect flight options, there are some really great deals. I know Turkish Airlines, for example, at the moment are offering a free stopover in Istanbul where they'll put you up in a hotel for the night. So you could fly, you know, some Turkish on the way through to Europe and take advantage of having that extra stopover.
What about people using travel agencies? And I'm aware that you work in that industry, so you're going to be a fan of them. But a lot of us just book independently now. Mm-hmm. We'll book our flight on the Fly Dubai website. We'll book our hotel on the Hilton website or whatever it may be. Does a company like DW Travel or Donata or whoever it may be, are they still interested in booking Brandy's holiday for her? Or is it just a corporate thing now for travel agencies?
No, absolutely. We, of course, that, I mean, that's why we exist, is to try and help make people's life easier when it comes to booking holidays. We have, our agents have access to contracted rates that are often not available in the market. When you book a flight with a hotel, you can often get a better rate on the flight. We also spend a lot of time educating our team around new destinations that are coming on board, you know, destinations that may have better availability than others, what the challenges are when it's coming, you know, to things like availability and pricing. So, you know, I've worked in travel for about 17, 18 years. And absolutely, I would say always book with an agent.
Oh, and with a business breakfast. So let me ask the business question. But where's the margin in that for you? And I get it if you've got a contract with, I don't know, Visa. I can see the Visa headquarters across the road. If you've got a contract with Visa to manage their travel, I get there's a margin in there, there's volume. But if it's my summer holiday, the margin is wafer thin. Why would you do that as a business?
Again, the more volume we sell, the better deals we get with airlines and hotels. So if we, you know, obviously the more people we book, the better those deals will be. And most of the way that we make money is through our relationships with those airlines and hotels so that we don't then need to necessarily pass it on to the consumer.
Finally, Emily, I'm going to ask the Brandy Scott question. Brandy has a theory that every year, travellers from Dubai, there's a trendy destination that everyone's going to. So Brandy, just remind us, what is your theory of trendy destinations for people who live in Dubai?
I always think they tie up with new route launches from airlines.
So one year it will be Croatia, one year it will be Georgia, one year
Sicily
it will be...
Sicily had a moment.
Where
Vietnam.
Vietnam had a moment. Where is it this year?
I actually think Japan is going to be the big one because they have just also announced recently that it's a lot easier for UAE citizens and residents to get a visa. So you can get an e-visa online if you're a resident of the UAE, and if you're a citizen, you can get a visa on arrival. And there's a lot more airlines flying into Japan as well, so I think that will be the place to be.
Konnichiwa, sayonara. Emily, good talking to you. Appreciate your time this morning. That's the thoughts of Emily Jenkins, Head of Product Development at DW Travel here in Dubai. On the back of that survey from American Express that says summer travel this year globally will be significantly more expensive.
Yeah, keep your votes coming in for that poll. As it stands, much more, 78%, a bit more, 11%, about the same, 11%.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
We will go through those PMI numbers in more detail for you in the rest of the show. They came out about 3 minutes ago. Speaking of new numbers, we've got new numbers out from IATA, having a look at the demand for international travel. And air passenger traffic is back to 90% of pre-pandemic levels, according to the organisation. We are joined by the group's regional director, Kashif Khalid. Kashif, good morning. Thanks for speaking to us.
Good morning.
Demand has just continued to rise throughout the year, and high prices don't seem to be putting anybody off. Why not?
So we've seen a lot of pent-up demand, as we've discussed many times ago, but we've also seen Asia-Pacific reopening relatively recently. So there's tremendous purchasing power coming from markets such as China, but other markets in Asia-Pacific, such as Singapore, Hong Kong as well. And in our April 2023 numbers, we said that approximately 45.8% increase compared to the previous year. As you rightly said, we're at 90.5% of pre-COVID levels. And it's important to mention this is for international traffic. For domestic traffic, we've already recovered to a higher level than April 2019 results. So a lot of that demand is coming from emerging markets in Asia Pacific, but also as the easing of inflation and rising consumer confidence in other OECD markets is also helping buoy that demand, but also keep that summer travel period looking very strong.
When are you expecting to see the international traffic pass the 2019 numbers? Could it happen this summer?
I personally think it could happen this summer for many markets, especially in the Middle East region. We're already at a very healthy recovery, I would say, trajectory. And with the opening of markets that were relatively slow to open up, as well as a very strong summer season, I think it's likely that in some markets we'll see a full recovery this year.
So what does that actually mean for prices? We've been speaking to one travel agent this morning about the rise in summer prices. We've got a poll going here in the Business Breakfast studio. Around 90% of our listeners say they're paying substantially more for their travel this summer. How high can it actually go, Kashif, before it starts eating into demand?
So for the aviation industry, we do believe that there is still strong demand over the summer period. We're looking at forward-looking bookings, and those are extremely healthy. Unfortunately, for the aviation industry, we've had some challenges with respect to the operational costs for airlines. So we all know the operational challenges that airlines, airports, and stakeholders faced in 2022. The aviation industry is also reeling from supply chain issues, as well as procurement challenges, as well as staffing issues as well, which is unfortunately having an impact on the cost of operations, which is leading to higher ticket prices for many consumers. But when we look at the demand, as mentioned, it's extremely strong. I do believe that we've learned a lot from the challenges of last summer, and I think it will be a favorable summer for both travelers as well as the operators within the industry.
Talk to me about that in a little bit more detail. There's an interesting Bloomberg report this weekend saying that while airlines have been able to put their prices up, airports have not been able to put their taxes and their fees up. There's quite a lot of pushback from governments and from the airlines themselves. What does that actually mean for facilities and services at the airports?
So from an industry perspective, we call upon all airports and stakeholders to adhere to the principles of ICAO, which governs or looks after the method in which airports look at raising their charges. So as long as it's cost-related, transparent, and fit for purpose, airports should be able to raise their charges. Many airports are looking at clawing back a lot of lost revenues throughout the COVID pandemic, which really isn't a, I would say, justifiable reason to increase charges. But as long as they've put in the investment and they're doing it as per the ICAO principles of user charges, we encourage airports and airlines, as well as stakeholders, to work collectively. For the airlines, it's a bit of a mixed bag because they've been reeling from supply chain issues, but also high oil prices in previous months. But I think we're coming to a point where demand coupled with the operating environment is favorable for everyone in the industry.
Jet fuel, though, has come down substantially this year. The high costs that we are seeing in tickets, Kashif, is it just airlines cashing in on that increased demand rather than their own costs actually rising?
So I think there's probably some of that. There has been a lot of demand, which is leading to airlines pricing their tickets competitively. But also on many routes, there's limited supply because of supply chain issues, as well as airlines not being able to deploy the aircraft type that they want, which leads to higher ticket prices, unfortunately, for some consumers.
What does the continued delay in a number of new planes add to this? Richard's been giving us this morning the numbers that a lot of carriers face when it comes to getting their orders fulfilled from the plane makers. I think that the Qatar Airways boss the other day was talking about it at your big forum in Istanbul as well. Does that mean that we're going to continue to see this excess of demand and these high prices?
So I personally think on the aircraft supply side, there will be some supply shortages. So the major OEMs such as Boeing and Airbus are doing all they can to deliver aircrafts as per their delivery schedule. But the whole aviation ecosystem is facing challenges from procurement and supply chain issues. So many operators that have certain aircraft variants are unfortunately facing pressures from not being able to get the supply or parts for their engines. As a result, many operators have had to take out aircrafts from their fleet. But also airlines that were scheduled for a delivery or receiving new aircrafts are seeing challenges from that schedule, hence delaying deploying additional capacity or starting up new routes. So while these are, I would say, teething problems coming out of the COVID pandemic, hopefully as those supply chain issues ease, airlines will be able to A, receive their aircraft orders and also start deploying some of that much needed capacity.
So what kind of summer are we going to have, Kashif? If we already know it's going to be an expensive one, if you're traveling, is it going to be a smooth one?
I think it's going to be both a little bit expensive, and I hope it's going to be smooth. Most of the industry has, looked at how we faced many challenges from 2022, whether it was airport queues, immigration queues, looking at mishandled baggage, looking at capacity challenges at airports, primarily in Europe. So the industry, especially as we all gather them in Istanbul today, are looking at how do we learn from those operational challenges and smooth out some of those issues. But it's not only isolated to aviation. If we speak to travel agents, embassies, as well as visa facilitating agencies, there's a acute shortage of visa appointments. It takes time to get visas in place, and also it's having an impact on the overall travel industry. But that tells you the level of demand that exists for travel.
Kashif Khalid is the regional director at IATA, speaking to us this morning on the back of the news that international air passenger traffic is past 90%, 90.5% to be precise, of pre-pandemic levels.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.